on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com.
You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report. Welcome. Alexander Alfano reporting. In this last week of May, 2025, for me an honor to host the Religious Liberty Report. On the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. This radio broadcast is intended to help equip churches and believers on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. We are in a culture of confusion. No points of reference. Objective facts, divine truth, are routinely subordinated to emotion, opinion, personal beliefs. The Religious Liberty Report. Thank you. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the report, where the idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. Anything you lose by speaking the truth is not a loss, it's an alignment. Religious liberty, the separation of church and state, never meant to create a wall, to remove people of faith or religious organizations from participation in public life. Religious liberty, religious freedom. Last week on the report, we covered modern genomic science, paleoarchaeology, how they're reshaping theological views on monogenesis and the traditional idea that humanity descends from a single original couple, Adam and Eve. Genomics, paleoanthropology, the genealogy of Adam and Eve, remaining true to the Genesis account, to a literal reading of Scripture. Stay tuned for future reports expanding on our studies regarding genomic science, paleoarchaeology as it relates to Scripture, and a literal reading of Genesis and the creation account we find in Scripture. On page one of the report, this last week of May 2025, 8 ways Jesus prioritized his mental health. I found this interesting. I thought I would share it with you. 8 ways that Jesus prioritized his own mental health. Number 1, Jesus made space for rest. That's right, Jesus regularly stepped away from crowds to be alone and pray. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Not because he didn't care, but because he needed rest. He didn't wait until he was exhausted to stop. He built healthy rhythms into his life in order to sustain his capacity to care for others. Jesus made space for rest. Number 2, Jesus named and expressed his emotions. Jesus demonstrated healthy emotional awareness. He didn't pretend everything was just okay. Everything would be just fine. He cried, he grieved, he even got angry and told his friends when he felt overwhelmed with sorrow. Mark chapter 14, verse 34. by naming what was going on inside, Jesus created space for God and the people around him to offer presence, empathy, and support. Number three, Jesus allowed others to support him. Even though he was the Son of God, Jesus didn't do things alone. He chose community. Interesting. Especially when things got hard. In the garden, he asked his closest friends to stay and pray with him. Be near me. Matthew 26, verse 38. He modeled what it looked like to reach out instead of isolating. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. Number four, Jesus listened to his body's needs. Jesus didn't ignore the signals of stress or fatigue. We read this in John 4, verse 6. When he was tired, he rested. When he was hungry, he ate. And when he needed a break, he took one. He showed us that caring for our bodies is part of caring for our minds and our souls. Number five, Jesus stayed grounded in truth. When Satan's lies came at him, you're not enough, take control, prove yourself. Jesus didn't surrender to the lie. Jesus anchored himself in the truth of God's word. We can find this in Matthew 4, verse 4. He didn't spiral with anxious thoughts. He spoke scripture to steady his soul. Number six, Jesus practiced gratitude in the midst of pain. Even in moments of grief and pressure, Jesus paused to thank God. He didn't wait for the situation to improve. He acknowledged the Father's goodness came before the blessing. John chapter 11, verse 41. Number seven, Jesus surrendered outcomes to the Father. Jesus faced real mental and emotional anguish, knowing that his way was to the cross. But instead of trying to control or escape, he chose to trust in his Father. Jesus, laying down the pressure to make things happen, surrendering to God's perfect will. Luke 22:42. And number eight, Jesus made space for joy. Yeah, joy, laughter, fun. In the middle of heavy ministry demands and serious life and death conversations, Jesus made space for lightness, laughter, connection. In Matthew 19, verse 14, we see that he welcomed children. He enjoyed meals. He went to weddings. He noticed beauty. Jesus showing us that making space for delight, for lightness, connection, is part of living a mentally healthy life. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. 8 ways our Lord Jesus prioritized his mental health. Turning to page 2 of the Religious Liberty Report, this last week of May 2025, entitled, "Could it be that what you call spirituality is actually distancing you from God?" We live in a time when spirituality is often well received. It feels good. It sounds deep, profound. The problem with spirituality is that too often it doesn't heal the soul. It doesn't save the heart and has no real connection to the true God. Spirituality distancing you from God. How might we identify spirituality? Well, it has to do with speaking of the universe, but forgetting the Creator. It has to do with feeling good, entering a state of wellness, but has nothing to do with repentance. It uses even Bible verses out of context to justify what God does not approve. It involves itself with the paranormal, the metaphysical, the supernatural, crystals, angels, energies, Christian astrologies. Spirituality can even disguise itself as loving yourself, but forgetting that we are called to die to self. There are many verses I can read on dying to the self, but I fell on Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Galatians 5, 24. Page 3, Religious Liberty Report, last week of May 2025. I found this. "Here is one narrow way to look at human history. After thousands of years of scientific discovery, technology, we've figured out how to melt sand, add some impurities, arrange it with astonishing precision at extraordinarily tiny scale into computer chips, run electricity through it, and end up with systems capable of creating increasingly capable artificial intelligence. The intelligence age. The intelligence age in the next couple of decades will be able to do things that would have seemed like magic to our grandparents. The phenomenon is not new by any means, but it's being accelerated at an increasing rate. People becoming dramatically more capable over time. We can now accomplish things that our predecessors would have believed impossible. And not because of genetic change, but because we benefit from the infrastructure of society. Our society more capable than any one of us individually. In an important sense, society itself is a form of advanced intelligence. Our grandparents and the generations before them, they built, they achieved great things. They contributed to the scaffolding of human progress that we all benefit from. The scaffolding of human progress. You see, AI, artificial intelligence, is giving us tools to solve really hard problems and help us add to this scaffolding to make it higher and higher and higher. In fact, the story will continue. Our children will be able to do things that we today cannot. Now, it won't all happen at once, but we'll soon be able to work with AI in ways that accomplish much more than if we didn't have it. Eventually, think of this, we'll each have our own personal AI staff, team, full of virtual experts in every field. And working together to create almost anything that we can imagine. Our children will have virtual tutors, teachers, coaches, providing personalized instruction in any subject, in any language, at whatever pace is deemed proper. We can imagine similar ideas in the areas of healthcare, transportation, communications. With these new abilities, there can be greater prosperity. In the future, everyone's lives might and can be better than life today. But brothers and sisters, we know that prosperity alone doesn't make people happy. We see plenty of miserable, rich people in the world today. Yet we find it noble to work to improve the lives of people around the world. This is meaningful. This is good. This is right. So how did we get? How did we get here to the doorstep of the next great leap in prosperity on planet Earth? It's almost like we crossed the line without noticing in the last year or two. I've heard it described as in three words. Deep learning worked. Deep learning worked. I've heard it described in 15 words. Deep learning worked. Got predictably better with scale, and we dedicated increasing resources to it. How we got here in 15 words. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Reporting on human history, thousands of years of science and technology coming to a singularity. Increasingly capable artificial intelligence. Could we be on the doorstep of the next great leap in human history? Some say that's exactly right. Humanity has discovered an algorithm that could really, truly learn any distribution of data to a shocking degree of precision. The more data available, the better it gets at helping people solve hard problems. A truly consequential point in human history. There are a lot of details we still have to figure out, but it's a mistake to get distracted by particular challenges. We've learned. Deep learning works. We'll solve particular challenges and problems in due course, but deep learning works. AI models will soon serve as autonomous personal assistants, carrying out our our assignments, our tasks. At some point, AI systems are going to get so good that there will be few problems that could not be solved by AI. Technology. The Stone Age to the Agricultural Age, then the Industrial Age, now the Intelligence Age. We need to act wisely, but with conviction, says one scholar. The dawn of the Intelligence Age is a momentous development with complex and extremely high-stakes challenges. This scholar argues that it will not be an entirely positive story, but that the upside is so tremendous that we so-called owe it to ourselves and the future to figure out how to navigate the risks in front of us. The Intelligence Age, defining what is being called the Age of Intelligence. They're saying that although it will happen incrementally, we'll have astounding triumphs in science, physics, medicine, fixing the climate, space colonies. Nearly limitless intelligence and abundant energy, generating great ideas and the ability to make them happen. The Age of Intelligence. As we've seen with other technologies, there will obviously be downsides. We can expect the technology to significantly affect labor markets, good and bad. There's a name for it. It's referred to as existential risk from AI. The idea that artificial general intelligence, AGI, could lead to human extinction or an irreversible global catastrophe. The existential risk from artificial intelligence. Turning the page on the report, the world's ice sheets are reporting to be in bad condition. A dire prognosis. Will coastlines bear the price? Reported this last week, the world's ice sheets are on course for runaway melting, leading to multiple feet of sea level rise and catastrophic migration away from coastlines. Even if the world pulls off the miraculous and keeps global warming to within 1.5 degrees Celsius. Recently reported, a group of international scientists set out to establish what would be a safe limit of warming. They pored over studies that took data from satellites, climate models, evidence from the past, ice cores, deep sea sediments, and what they found supposedly painted a dire picture. The world has pledged to restrict global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels to supposedly stave off the most catastrophic impacts of climate change. Reports have it that even if we sustain modern levels of 1.2 degrees of warming, it could still trigger rapid ice sheet retreat and catastrophic sea level rise. These scientists are reporting. The Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets are reported to hold enough fresh water to raise global sea levels by around 213 feet. Since the 1990s, the amount of ice they've lost, that this Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets, has quadrupled. It's reported that ice sheet melting is the dominant contributor to rising seas, and the rate of annual sea level rise has doubled over the past 30 years. Our last item will be entitled When Ghosts Come Knocking. In May of 1519, the Senate in Venice received reports of a ghost in the lagoon town of Chioggia, and this supposed ghost was disturbing sleeping priests by knocking under their beds. One diarist and senator in Venice, Marin Sanudo, was at first doubtful. He wrote, "For several days, the news of this has already been about the city." He went on to say, "But I did not want to record it until I better understood the matter." The priest reported that the ghost warned of an upcoming flood in the town. This threw the town people into panic. According to the rumors, some pregnant women even miscarried. The frightened bishop of the town, Chioggia, in whose palace the ghost had appeared, abandoned his flock and left for Venice, refusing to return to the town, even after Venetian authorities ordered him back. But an investigation soon revealed the whole story to have been a hoax, to which Senator Sanudo termed a very ridiculous affair. But tell that to the frightened women who lost their pregnancies. When ghosts come knocking. Ghosts have led historians into many strange, dark passages. For many, ghosts, apparitions, spirits, not invented, but quite real. And the Holy Ghost is very real. The Holy Spirit, living, indwelling each and every one of us. We'll cover more of this in coming reports. Apparitions, visions, delusions, demons, ghosts. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. On the air, working to keep America open to God's truth, helping and hoping to equip churches and believers on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. Until next time, God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.